This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It's a pretty nice day out there today. Today is Thursday, getting near the end of the work week. You are listening to 107.7, or you can stream it live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. And we do broadcast live at 814 Elm Street, which is otherwise known as the Beacon Building. And, you know, today, Midtown Cafe is right there on street level. And did you see the soup they had today, Mike?
Well, yeah, two soups, actually.
Oh, was there two?
Unless maybe they didn't erase yesterday's. I know you had gazpacho yesterday, and that was still on there. And chicken and rice, I think.
Oh,
right?
Well, I just looked at the gazpacho, and yes. I see we weren't here yesterday, so I didn't realize it was on yesterday.
Maybe it was 2 days ago, because I wasn't here yesterday either.
But it looks really good.
Yeah, I've had the gazpacho. Yeah. Very, very good. And, of course, that's a cold soup.
It is.
But I had your tomato soup 2 days ago.
Ooh, that looked good.
It was fantastic.
Good.
So
very good.
Chicken rice. I like sometimes the little different twist that your staff puts on your soups here, because you don't usually see pea pods in a lot of soups, but I've seen that in a couple that I've had. So very, very yummy.
Yeah, delicious, delicious. So anyway, let's see. We have a pretty packed show, as usual. The mayor will be joining us momentarily, and wait till you see what I am going to be serving him. And it's me that is serving him
today. So you are the chef for this today.
I am the chef today.
Oh, because typically we have whoever our visiting chef is come in a little early and present the food. And he has been very, very impressed with everything so far. So the pressure is on, Carol Lawrence.
The pressure is on. And yes, all I can say, I'm going to give you a little hint. Mm-hmm. My kitchen, I stunk up my kitchen.
You stunk up your kitchen making this today, all right?
I did. So that's the hint I'm giving. So.
Okay.
There you go. But apparently the mayor loves this.
Well, and all you need to know is that, and you'll know what it is. But only, I think, a handful of people realize what it is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But they can tune in and, you know, or stay tuned, mm-hmm. and they can hear what it is. And then we're going to be talking with Linda Ditch of What's Cooking in Kansas, her blog, There and Back Again. You can check her out on the web if you want to get a sneak preview of the topic, lyndaathompson.blogspot.com. And you know what we're going to be talking about today?
I don't.
Farmers markets.
Oh.
And how
wonderful.
To shop them. She has a way to shop the farmers
markets. It's easy to spend a lot of money because everything looks so good. So that you have to use restraint. I'm going to guess that's part of it.
Well, I guess we'll find out. I don't know. But she said there is a way to shop farmers markets, and that's what we're going to talk about today, which is a perfect, you know, time of the year to be talking about.
They're a lot more prevalent in that part of the country because there's so much more farming, and they're a little ahead weather-wise. Right now, there's a lot that hasn't really, you know, come to be picked yet onto the local New Hampshire farmers markets. Right. But still plenty to get.
Yes.
Still plenty of things to see.
You know, June posted a picture this morning on her Facebook page, and because she has some tomato plants, and she's already got like a bowl full of cherry tomatoes.
Already?
They look beautiful.
Are these the ones that hang upside down, or are these typical bush cherry tomatoes?
I think it's a bush. Yeah.
Wow, that's real early.
They're nice and bright red. They're beautiful. Yeah, they look really
good. Terrific. So. Wow.
Anyway, and then Patrick Hall today, he is going to be here as well. So, and do you know who I heard from?
No.
David Salvas.
Oh, David Salvas, our marathon runner.
Marathon runner.
He's the guy who's in his mid-60s. He's done over 80 marathons. He was in just before Boston, and you expressed some interest in perhaps dabbling in running. And so is this where he comes in?
Well, I've been asking him. He said he was going to come up with a plan for me and something that I can look over to see if I would like to commit to this. And, you know, he was busy right after his, you know, the Boston Marathon and stuff. And, you know, he kept in touch with me saying, I haven't forgotten you. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. And that was a good.
Almost 2 months ago.
What, yeah.
Well, the marathon was 6 weeks ago.
Okay, so, you know, he contacted me, like, so it was probably about 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
And so this morning he again emailed me and said, I didn't forget about you. I just want you to know. And he's in all kinds of races coming up.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the Mount Washington run up
the
hill.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's this weekend.
I think so. So he said, again, I haven't forgotten you, which that's okay. It's all cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's great. I have to tell you, I had a strange day yesterday.
Ooh.
So I live in this neighborhood, and next door neighbor comes over, knocks on my door, and says, "You know, my daughter's getting married this Saturday, but the JP or the minister who is supposed to actually conduct the service is in hospice care. He's been ill for a long time. So can you marry them?"
So you're going to be performing a wedding?
Not so fast, Carol.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, and I didn't even know if my neighbor knew I was a JP, but he apparently did. So I said, all right, when is it? You know, because it's in Portsmouth, and it's going to be tomorrow afternoon. I said, well, I need to be able to make it work because I'm on the radio till 2, and I'm happy to come to the rehearsal tonight, and because I feel badly for you, I'd be very happy to do that. So he gives me a big hug, you know, a big man hug, and I said, go home and send me the script so I can look at it, get familiar with it, and all the stuff. So he sends that, and then about an hour after that, I get another email. Mike, the groom, didn't know I was looking, and he found somebody, and you're off the hook.
Oh.
So it was, and we start, okay, we're going to stay like for the weekend there. We're going to put the dog in this and that and all this other stuff. And I'm going 100 miles an hour because I have someplace to be tomorrow morning in Bedford, then come here, then go there. So it's all going to work out fine. I was prepared to do it, and he was grateful for that. But what a strange run of emotions over the course of about an hour. Out of nowhere, I'm doing a wedding Saturday. Out of nowhere, I'm not doing it Saturday. So what we did is we said, you know what, let's make a weekend of it. Because I said, oh, you can have the room because the officiant, you know, isn't going to be here, and you can, that's all right, thanks. It would be awkward because we're not invited to the wedding. Right. Don't know these people real well, so maybe they can use it for another one of their guests. So we found a B&B up at Algonquin, and that's what we're going to do for the weekend.
Nice.
Because before, like, the vacation season starts, it's actually pretty pleasant in those areas. So.
It's beautiful down there.
Oh, I mean, it's always beautiful, but there's just too darn many people during the summer.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not going to be a real warm weekend. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be dry. It'll be pleasant. So that's...
be very nice.
That all fell together in my lap and out of my lap yesterday afternoon.
In and out. I can just see you during that hour, Mike.
Yeah. Okay, Bob, what are you gonna, okay, let's call, get the dog all booked. Okay, all right. Can you be ready to go at 3:00? Because we got to get there. You know, I'll come pick you up. And what are you going to wear? I need 9 outfits, the whole deal. Now, when you're going somewhere and you're going to wear some nice clothing, do you lay out several outfits on your bed or hang them up or something like that?
Well, when Daryl and I go away, and let's say it's for like a week.
Okay.
We bring 2 suitcases. Sometimes we bring 3.
Okay.
And he gets half of one of the suitcases, and I get the rest.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? It's so good to be a guy. I just don't worry about that stuff. But for days in advance, Barbara's laying stuff out on the bed. I have no place to sleep. So anyway, that's what's happening there.
Very good. Well, you know what? Should we go on our break?
Yeah,
I
might as
the
well.
Mayor's ready.
We don't want to keep him waiting.
That
There's lots to feed him and lots to talk about, lots
That's
going
right.
on in the city.
All right. So you're listening to Food for Thought. When we come back, we will be feeding the mayor, Mayor Gatzis. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought on The Pulse, WTPL 107.7. Brought to you by KC's Rib Shack, famous Hickory Smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue on 2nd Street over on the west side. Fabulous barbecue for sure. And Grasshopper's Garden Center, where the customer comes first. 728 North River Road in Boston. Online at grasshoppersgardencenter.com. It is 1225, and he's adjusting his microphone to the proper height so the food will fit right in front of him for our weekly feeding of the mayor.
Bi-weekly.
Every other week, yeah.
Bi-weekly feeding of Mayor Gatzis.
You know, you bring so much food, it lasts for 2 weeks.
That's true.
Well, yeah.
Thanks
Mayor.
For having me. It's certainly been a treat these weeks because you folks do a great job and the variety is incredible.
Well, thank you. And you know what? Today, your creation is made by moi.
All right now.
By
that
me.
Means I must have a kelp smoothie.
No. No, that's Gary Lehman.
No. Actually, Amanda, come on in. Amanda is going to bring it in.
No, it's not Amanda.
And, listen, before, you know, you put it down. You go ahead, put it down. Now, Mayor, you can also make sure, you know, Mrs. Gatzis does know that I did keep your health in mind when I did
this.
We have to.
Well,
we definitely have
that.
To.
Oh, and must be tuna fish.
You smell it? It is
tuna P. Wickle.
Yay!
All right now. Look at that. You tried some?
No.
Oh, yes, you were.
I was too afraid.
Oh, well, you're going to have some.
Do we have some knives or knife? Do you got knives?
Yes, we do. Amanda, right
cut
down
off the
there, there should yeah, be one in that package.
I, as a kid, a
easy
variation of this.
Now.
No, I will definitely share some with you, Mayor.
And Carol, you're going to have some.
I don't know.
She's on a strict diet.
No.
Oh, not today. Do you give her dispensation, Mayor?
Listen, anybody that feeds me something, I must understand that they've eaten it.
I know. I didn't I tell you when I was preparing it this morning, I didn't even taste it?
No.
Don't worry.
All I know
I'm going to cut you a piece of it. Don't worry about a thing. See,
this
you
is tuna pea wiggle.
See?
Well, you have a lot up
near
there.
Near and dear to the mayor's life.
He is cutting into his tuna pea wiggle.
Oh, I'm cutting into your tuna pea wiggle. I'll cut into mine a little bit.
Oh,
later.
Look at this.
Oh, this is funny. Okay, so, and like
don't
I said,
so deep, Carol. Are we having this
at the mayor's reception tonight? Carol, can you bring about 300 gallons of this tonight?
He has a lot upstairs.
There you go.
So, Mr. Mayor, I have never heard of this. She asked me to look up the recipe, and I have never heard of it. This is the first time I'm seeing it. Can you tell me about it?
This is, this is something that... it's easy enough to make. The toughest part is opening the can of tuna fish.
And then you wanted cream. You do yours with cream of mushroom soup, correct?
Cream of mushroom soup.
Okay, because a lot of the recipes don't call for that.
Cream of mushroom soup,
Lacerte. I added that in. Mm-hmm.
And on toast.
And some of them do it on saltines.
You can do it on saltines.
Okay, see,
I look for a little bit of substance with the toast.
Well, it is. I made it with the... almost fat-free cream of mushroom soup.
Almost fat-free.
Almost fat-free, 98%.
Close enough.
And I did it with low-fat cheese. Did you put cheese in yours, too?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a little bit in there.
All right. No cheese, but, we'll try a new way. Nothing wrong with experimenting.
And the baby peas, and then I used whole grain toast.
That's fine. That's the healthy part.
So
that's okay.
I was thinking
a lot of peas, too. That's good. You're going to get your fiber, Mayor.
Does Mrs. Gatzes make this as well?
She does.
Still to this day?
My wife makes it.
When's the last time you had it?
My mother used to make it. My wife got the recipe. Last time I had it, to be honest with you, was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
All right.
Mrs. Gatzes eats this?
She does. She truly does.
I don't know.
You and Mike have got to jump in.
Oh, definitely. Need some more forks.
Carol, don't look at it. It's not that bad.
There's some forks right there on that plate. Yeah. Thank you very much.
A big piece.
I'm just trying one piece. Amanda, you can talk while I'm...
This is
related. So you had this as a child?
I had this as a child. They served it in grade school. The cooks used to cook this at Smith Road School, and it was awesome.
The kids right now today, if they saw this, I don't know what
they'd
do.
Oh, they'd jump right into it.
You think?
Absolutely.
This is good. You did a good job on them.
Carol has a large dish for you to take home upstairs.
You can put it in the quart container for them.
Perfect. I will do that.
Not bad, huh, Carol?
A nice treat for you to take home to your wife.
Not bad, huh? I'll probably see it on the menu up here.
You know what? This really... We should have put this on our specials.
Should have. She has quite a few specials. Actually, I wanted to tell you, tomorrow here at the Beacon, we're going to have grilled lamb in pita bread with some tzatziki, and I know you enjoy that, so come on over.
By the way, that
well.
Mike and Carol are eating, I'm going to have to do this show today. Not bad, huh, Carol?
I do have to say, I'm pleasantly surprised. I am.
It's really good.
Aren't you going to try it, Amanda?
I'm not a tuna fan.
That's all right. You try it.
Okay.
Go ahead. Cut a piece. Use
okay.
The spoon.
If he's making me try it, you are going to try a piece. And see, and
I
gave you some fruit skewers.
I noticed that.
Thinking healthy.
Here you go. Let me help you. I know you used to feed the
can
baby.
We drizzle?
I appreciate
I can feed you. Go ahead.
Can we drizzle some chocolate on the fruit skewers?
Well, no, don't be cutting a small piece now.
Oh,
I mean, take it off.
You're just like my husband. He always makes me take these big bites.
That's all right.
Okay.
So, listeners, if you want to know how to make tuna pea wiggle, the way that I made it, I took a big can of solid white albacore tuna, and then I used baby peas and Then I did a can of the 98% fat-free creamy mushroom soup and mixed all that together. And some of the recipes, because I looked at a couple different ones, some of them had cheese, some of them didn't. So I sprinkled a little bit of shredded cheddar cheese in there, and I used the low fat. And then I just added, you know, to give it a little bit more of like a that kind of a texture, I put some fat-free cream. I put some fat-free cream in it. So that's how I made it. And then I did salt, pepper, and some garlic salt, or no, garlic powder in it. And
multi-grain bread.
And on multi-grain bread. There you go. It's actually, I do kind of like
it's
it.
It's great.
I don't know as I would maybe make it again. Of course, I'd make it for you again, but.
You know, you got to be adventurous when it comes to food.
I really think that this would go on the Red Arrow menu.
Oh, this is definitely diner food.
Oh, we diner should have put food, that on our specials on for our next specials. Week.
Do you own the name Tuna P. Wigglemayer, or can we grab that? Can she grab that?
Oh, I think
she
so.
Can happen.
It's all throughout the. It's all on the internet.
Oh, it is?
It's all, and you know, and when he said Tuna P. Wiggle, I thought it was just the letter P. And then it's coming up P-E-A, P's. And I'm like,
oh,
duh.
Of course, yeah.
I was like, what?
Same thing happened to me, so don't feel bad.
Did you do the same thing?
I Googled it, Tuna, the letter P, Wiggle.
Me too. And then it comes up P-E-A, and I'm like, oh, well, no kidding.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
Super.
I would agree. And now this is going to taste probably a little differently than how Mrs. Gatsis makes it, because there's no cheese, and does she do the low-fat soup, or?
No.
No? So this tastes good to me, and it's healthier, I would think.
Well, you know, when you're eating this, you don't have to worry about your health that much.
So. Oh, so it's like a five-minute break from caring about your. Oh, this, okay. All right. Well, I'm glad that she does
that for you. Everything
in moderation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I noticed, Mike, you ate more than I did.
Kelly, oh, yeah.
You're still biting along, and that's a good thing.
I don't know. How come you're not eating? You always eat.
No, it's addicting, isn't it?
It's not bad. It's not bad. I'm not totally committing to it.
Now,
so.
Carol, you need to write this down for your consumption today.
I know.
Because you keep a strict log
three
on everything you eat.
Of Tuna P. Yeah. Wiggle.
You probably had 40 calories.
You think 40?
I'm going to guess, yeah.
Okay. All right.
If that.
She had 15. The rest of that is the other 20.
Oh. I see. Wow.
No, it wasn't bad.
We got a great thing happening at the Verizon this weekend.
Yeah, and I understand that you are getting involved somehow.
We are. We're going to have a little bit of a wager with the mayor from Utica. And I've already told there's a newspaper that called me from there, and I talked to the union leader here, told him that we would be competing, and certainly I've asked Carol to participate to put a Red Arrow basket together with some Twinkies and some other things and a thing of maple syrup, and we'll send him a lobster. And I know that they're going to be putting something together over in Utica, so it'll be an exciting time. Good luck, Monarchs. They're playing unbelievable hockey. They just need to make sure they string four good ones together.
Awesome.
Well, the first two are right here, right?
They are. I'll be there Sunday night.
Are you dropping the ceremonial first puck?
We will be with Chief Mara and Chief Willard.
Oh, fun.
Oh, yes. Soon to be Chief anyway, as of July 1st, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw the it seems like he was an easy shoo-in, or at least everybody seemed to agree on his selection as your new chief.
I know he's going to do a great job. Mm-hmm. I know he's, you know, Chief Mara started the neighborhood policing. I know that Chief Willard is going to be following suit with that, and he's got a few other things that he'd like to institute. So I know that he's dedicated to the city of Manchester.
What is the Chief Mara plans, you know, once he takes a little time off? Will he go into private business, do you know? Has he shared anything with you?
No, he's going down to the Cape to dig some quahogs.
Oh, is he? Oh, then after that. Is he a big Cape guy?
I told him to make sure he brings some back for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that what a tough job. I mean, being police chief of a city the size, with the challenges it presents and the rewards that it presents.
Yeah, I brought him up the other night and said a few words about him, and when he was given his farewell speech, he was breaking up.
He was. I didn't know if I was.
Yeah, he was.
My imagination, he seemed very, very, very emotional.
He's done a great
job.
How
could you not be?
You know, there's no question that.
How long has he been chief?
Seven years.
Okay.
Certainly, I believe that I feel safer in this community since he's been chief, and I know that I will feel just as safe with Chief Willard.
And I think you pointed out that he really felt that being closer to the community and having that kind of reach out and touch the men in blue and women in blue has been part of his legacy, I would guess.
No question.
As the mayor touches another flavor of tuna pea wiggle.
Bite of tuna pea
Don't want it to get cold, Mayor.
It probably is.
See, that is something that so belongs on a diner menu.
It does, and I think we're going to try
it. I haven't finalized the specials.
It's got to go on. We have to put tuna pea wiggle on that.
We'll remove one of them.
Put Mayor Gatz's tuna pea wiggle. You're going to be highlighted on the Red Arrow menu for one full week.
Now, don't blame me. if they insist to have it on their daily menu.
Well, that's quite a feat if that happens.
Yeah, hope it doesn't cost you the election.
That's a pretty big deal if you get put onto the menu. So, but it is definitely a diner staple. So I do
put
think
it right next
to
the buffalo chicken mac and cheese quesadilla.
There you go. So they'll see it for sure.
And this can have a little heart next to it because it is the heart-healthy version.
Yes.
Right?
Very good.
That is true.
I mean, seriously, there's not that much fat in that since you're using the ingredients that you are.
It's true. Yeah, 98% and then fat-free cream.
All right. So back to the bet that you have with the mayor of Utica, which mayors often do when there's two sports teams in a final championship. What does Utica have or what are they known for that would make us want a basket from them? Lobster, I get, but what about from Utica?
It'll be interesting to see
what they
offer. I was going to
sausage.
I was going to offer up some Putin, but I just figured that would be the wise idea.
No,
because I don't know. I don't know how we get it back.
Tuna pea Putin. There you go. Wow.
Funny.
So yeah. I don't know what Utica is known for.
I don't either. Can we Google that somehow?
Yeah.
Quickly. I mean I'm going to guess like sausage or something very hearty.
No, they told me that one of their specialties is a pizza with just red sauce.
Really?
Just red sauce, no cheese?
No, no cheese.
Okay, just a
red
plain
sauce
pizza.
And different things on it. So,
That is kind of strange.
Then there was some other meal that Utica's known for, but it didn't really.
I don't know.
It didn't sound like it should be talking to Carol about putting it on a menu.
Yeah.
I think they're getting the better end of the deal if they do win, which, of course, we know they won't.
They won't. As a matter of fact, I was going to say that the two of us would wager a winner's basket.
Oh.
So that if you won, you get to keep your own basket.
Oh. Have you wagered similarly in your tenure here as mayor of Manchester?
No, this is the first one.
Right.
Very first one. So, again, I know that the Monarchs are going to do a great job and certainly bring the cup home.
It's very exciting.
It's it'll be a great
city will have an awful lot of people this weekend.
Yeah.
So,
well, what a way for them to go out. As we know, they're leaving for Ontario, California, to be closer to the parent team, the LA Kings, and so there'll be a new league of Manchester Monarchs in town. I'm going to guess that it may be a little lower on the rung of the minor leagues, but still, typically, that level of hockey can tend to be a little more exciting than the AHL. A little more aggressive, because I spent a lot of time with the International Hockey League in Toledo back in the 70s. And if you ever saw the movie, what was it with Paul Newman? It was a hockey movie. It was really Slapshot. Yes, thank you.
You mean the lower?
Yeah. Because the guys are trying harder to get the attention of people who move them up. And there's a lot more fights at the lower levels for those that like that. They've tried to clean up the upper levels of hockey in terms of too much fighting and stuff. But I think you'll see maybe a more exciting brand of hockey. That's just my theory. I could be wrong. But
and, Mike, Manchester has been a hockey town for an awful lot
sure
of years
has.
Back when I want to say it was probably 40 years ago at least when the Blackhawks played here and the Nashua Maroons, I think they were called, and or the Concord Maroons. They had a team out of Berlin and another one out of Concord and one out of Nashua, and that's before most kids knew about skating. I mean, it was a legitimate hockey league that a lot of people played on and a lot of Manchester residents that you talk to that are from the old hockey vintage can tell you about, and they used to fill JFK.
Yeah.
It'd be 2,600 people every time they played there.
And it would rock, wouldn't it?
It would rock.
Yeah, and when there was a championship, I mean, everything stopped.
It did.
And there were probably parades. I mean, I don't know. I didn't live here then, but.
Well, you know, we've already, certainly I would hope that we would have a conversation once they win the cup about doing something and celebrating.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Now, has the Calder Cup been to the mayor's office? Because it's been making the rounds here in Manchester.
I've not seen it, but I know that Luc Robitaille is coming in. He'll be here Sunday, so I'll make sure he brings it by on Monday.
Good idea. It's going to be actually in our studio at 2 o'clock. He'll be gone by then, but it will be here. So it's smart marketing to get it around so everybody can see it, like the Stanley Cup. Yeah,
well, that's great.
All right. You are listening to Food for Thought, 107.7 The Pulse, and it is our biweekly lunch with the mayor. And stay tuned. Food for Thought's going to go on a short break. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It's Thursday today, and it's a little chilly, but it is warming up a bit. So there we go. And we are it is our biweekly lunch with Mayor Gatsis. And if you weren't tuned in a little bit ago, I attempted to make him some tuna pea wiggle.
Great job.
Bet you didn't expect that for one of your lunches.
No, I figured it would be coming soon.
Yeah.
But I didn't think the very next time I was there.
Well, we've covered all the food groups for you, and we'll continue to. And you're doing a good job on the fruit skewers, by the way.
The fruit is excellent also.
Gone through half of it already. So, Cassandra, and I look forward to meeting your wife tonight at your reception.
She'll be there.
Yeah.
Hopefully we have a big crowd. I think we're going to have a very large crowd and a lot of fun. And
well, there's a lot going on in the city that demands your attention aside from, you know, that aspect of it. This is the drop-dead day for Uber, is it not? And what happens if they just continue to ignore you reaching out to them to at least have some conversation? Is there any way you can stop them from operating?
You know, I leave that up to the city clerk. I know that we have ordinances in the city that we expect everybody that comes in that creates a business. Carol, you know that you've got some restaurants, and the Board of Health comes in and they look at you, and just because McDonald's is a national franchise, they must go through the same inspection as the Red Arrow Diner. So there is no difference when it comes to that. And I think that when you have rules in a community, they should be followed.
Of course, it's a little easier to enforce the food aspect of it. You can't always look at a car and know there's an Uber driver in it. So I would think that enforcement would be a little more challenging.
Well, enforcement's tough, but there's no question that, you know, safety, public safety is what's most important, and it's paramount. And when the chief came in and he sat before the board a month ago, that's what he talked about, that it was about public safety, and that was what was most important.
I think we have a call.
We do have a caller. We have Pat Graham on. Hi, Pat.
Hi. How you doing, guys? Mr. Mayor, Amanda?
Pat, how are you?
Good, thanks. I was calling about something other than the Uber. It's about a restaurant. I wanted to go with the fish theme.
Okay.
Recently come to my attention that the Wintervane restaurant in Bedford is being demolished.
Is it being demolished? I didn't hear that it was being demolished, but
yeah, I just found that out today. And just to let you know, though, if any of your restaurant friends are looking for any tables and chairs, they're going to be having a whole bunch of them for sale.
All right,
there you go.
So you know, if you want to pick up a good deal, I think the guys are going to be there tomorrow and probably the first part of next week. You know, there's probably some other stuff still hanging up on the wall or whatever, but
when did they close?
To decorate your house with some kind of a memorabilia, and they're also selling a very large sign up front.
Ooh, interesting.
So, Pat, when did the restaurant close? I'm assuming it has at this point.
I'm not sure. There was some signs on the doors, but I didn't check to see. It's been closed for quite a while,
months,
though.
I'd say a couple months, judging by the
deterioration of the building.
So, Pat, do you know, I mean, are they selling, like, the equipment, kitchen equipment and stuff like that? Is it just going to be
I would imagine all that for sale, yeah.
Auction kind of thing? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, look inside to see what's left there or anything. So, okay. I imagine that stuff's there.
That's a good tip. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Every time I've been in there, and it's been a long time, it always seemed fairly well attended.
Yes, it was.
Middle-of-the-road food. I mean, not exceptional, but, you know, a decent place to eat.
That was my very first job.
It was.
When I left the family business. Oh, boy. That didn't go over. You know,
well,
my mother was
upset.
My dad was like, go, you need to experience it. And, you know, now I went to be a waitress. And within 3 weeks of me being a waitress, the general manager pulls me aside, Mike Coulters. I remember him to this day. We still kind of keep in contact every so often. He's like my mentor. He taught me a lot. 3 weeks goes by. I'm, you know, a waitress. And he says, you are good. Like, you need to be more than a waitress. And I'm like, me? Like, really? He's like, I think you need to, you know, dining room manager. You need to train for dining room manager. And not even a month later, I was the dining room manager over there. Right. I loved it. Love that job. Well, and then I was assistant manager in the kitchen.
That certainly shows why the tuna pea wiggle is so good.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, that was my first job.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting topic. Mr. Mayor, do you recall your first paying job?
My first paying job was at the Manchester Pine Grove Cemetery.
Mm.
When I was in high school.
As maintenance or upkeep?
We were
talking to the stones.
Cutting grass and watering flowers.
Yeah.
Interesting. How about you, Mike?
I worked in the food service business also at McDonald's.
Really?
And I have to tell you, it's one of my favorite jobs I've ever had. I was on the front window taking orders, and of course, I always got yelled at by the managers because I was talking too much to the customers. Is that a surprise to anybody?
Okay, now.
Were you interviewing them?
As it turns out, yes. Actually, one of the customers I did wait on, this was right across the street from the General Motors Tech Center just outside of Detroit. John DeLorean would come in from time to time with his very expensive sharkskin suit on. This is before he invented the DeLorean, but he was a big deal with GM at that time. And he would come to our McDonald's occasionally and get his lunch.
Who would have thought eating McDonald's?
I know. At, you know, 20 cents for a burger and, you know, 45 for a Big Mac. I could still give you the whole menu back from 1970. But my biggest experience from that was being in an armed holdup and being bound and gagged with three other of my coworkers at gunpoint one night. I was also the guy that did the maintenance after the day was done. I was in college. I would come in. I'd swab the floors, clean the grills, get the place looking good for the next morning. And luckily that night there happened to be the manager was there. Normally he wouldn't be because he knew how to get into the safe, which I didn't know how. There were two other guys. There were four of us. Knock on the door. We opened the door. Two guys with ski masks and blue steel revolvers ordered us all to hit the deck. So they duct taped our wrists and terry cloth stripped our ankles face down as they got away with $1,300. Talk about needing laundry the next day. I mean,
that was horrible.
It was worse though when I got home and thought about what could have happened while it was happening. It's you don't even know, your mind is just a blur, but that's not my only time with criminal element. I'll save the other time for another visit from the mayor.
All right.
So, Mayor, anything else happening in the city?
I can tell you that we're working very hard. We have a large group of people that are talking to Hillsborough County. I know they're in their budget process right now, and we're trying to convince them that we need a drug court here in Hillsborough County North. There's Grafton County pays for a drug court. Belknap County pays for a drug court. Rockingham County pays for a drug court. So we need to start, instead of just talking, we need to start doing something, because when I've got four or five mothers that come to my office and tell me the sad stories about their daughters and sons, this is an epidemic, and I've been saying this for the last year. It's an epidemic that's not only here in Manchester and the state of New Hampshire, it's throughout this country. I think you, Mike, you probably saw some statistics that last year we had 321 deaths from narcotic use and from heroin. And there were over 1,000 saves, I will call them, with the use of Narcan. If you didn't have Narcan, what do you think that 321 deaths would have run to?
Right.
So this isn't about something, you know, we have 31 already in the city of Manchester since the first of the year. Something has to be done. Drug court is something that I participated in and went out and watched down in Nashua South. And also up at Stratford County, people tell me that it's something that's very successful. They have a 64% graduation rate. You don't ever want to see 100, because that means you're putting people in the program that don't belong in the program.
They would just clog it up for the others.
Correct. Right. So we're seeing that it's a very much of a success, and we've got to convince the county delegation to fund $400,000 to start saving lives, because there's no question it is an epidemic. And it's not, when people say that it's a Manchester issue, then they've been living with their head in the sand.
Well, it's a big city, so they say the stats are naturally going to be higher. But per capita, probably no more than most other places, I would guess.
No, but it's in Goffstown. It's in other communities.
Yeah, it's a very it's a suburban thing. The easy access and the low price and, of course, the addictive nature of it. And somebody
you can get high on it for less than you can a six-pack of beer.
It's horrible. Amazing.
Horrible. Just horrible. Well, Mayor, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for the tuna pea wiggle. It was great.
All right, you're listening to Food for Thought, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Linda Ditch, What's Cooking in Kansas, there and back again. We'll be right back.